The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Wonderful. I believe I can preach after that. I believe I can. And I'm glad he's there no matter what time of the day or night it is. You never get a busy signal. You never get push one for this, push two for that, and 30 minutes later you're on hold. We never get that with the Lord. He's always there, and I'm so thankful for that. Well, Proverbs chapter 2, verse number 11, we'll read it again just for clarification's sake. Keep your pen handy, and we'll got a lot of information to cover. Hope it's a blessing and a help to you. Discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. And when we're talking about this matter of preserving the Christian home and being in it for the long haul, you got to understand that the devil is on an all-out rampage to get back at God. His way of doing that is he wants to attack the church. The way he does that is he attacks the home. The way that he does that is he attacks you as a parent, as a child. And he's never going to give up until he is cast into the lake of fire. And so we've got to be aware that, of course, the Bible says that we're not ignorant of his devices. And we ought to be careful that he not get an advantage of us. But can I tell you, all of us could have stories of families that have been busted up, churches that have split, folks that once were on fire for God, and now you just can't find them. We can all look at folks like that, and they may have started out with good intentions of being in it for the long haul, but somewhere along the way, the devil derailed them. Somewhere along the way, he got them off track. Somewhere along the way, he knocked them out of the race. Somewhere along the way, he got them to throw in the towel and quit. What we ought to decide tonight is that we don't want to be one in that number that is knocked out of the race. We ought to decide that we're in it for the long haul. By the way, if we live on our feelings, guess what? We won't make it through the long haul. We've got to just decide that we're going to hunker down and we're going to plant ourselves and we're in our marriage, in our home, in our church, and just decide that this is where God's put me, and therefore I'm just going to stay put. The Bible teaches in this verse, in order to preserve and maintain a family, a marriage, a church, a relationship, even your own life, you must have two things: discretion and understanding. Discretion is that which is going to preserve us. Understanding is that which is going to keep us or keep us going. To define the word preserve means this: to keep or to save from injury or destruction. By the way, that ought to be the desire of every daddy in every home here and every mama in every home here, is I desire to save my family and keep my family from being injured. To keep them from being harmed by what the devil wants to do in their life. The word preserve means to defend from evil or corruption. Can I tell you, that ought to also be our desire as a leader in our home. I can tell you for sure that's our the desire of our preacher in this church. He's not going to allow false doctrine to come in the church. Why? Because he wants the church to be preserved from evil and corruption. He's going to stand and he's going to defend the church from that corruption. We ought to take a stand in our homes and defend it from corruption. Can I tell you, there's more today that can get in a home and corrupt it than there ever has been. And of course, most of it's attached to your hip right here, called a cell phone, called a desktop computer. You know, who has a desktop computer anymore, right? They just a tablet and iPad. But can I tell you, that is, I believe, one of the devil's biggest tools that he's using to bring corruption in the life of an individual, and definitely to wreak havoc in a home. Right. The word preserve means this: to sustain. It means to keep from falling, to maintain, and to support. You know, every home goes through battles. Every church goes through battles. Every individual goes through battles. Can I tell you what God's desire is for us tonight? is that we are sustained. By the way, the Bible says the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? And so the thing about it is, God has given us His sweet Holy Spirit to maintain, even in tough times, and to just stay put and to keep us from falling. And so if we find ourselves not maintaining, find ourselves doing less than what we used to, we find ourselves falling into sin, it's simply because we don't have these two things, discretion and understanding. God says that He's able to preserve us with this thing of discretion. Now, what is discretion? Discretion is prudence. Now, what is prudence? Well, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs that a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. And so a prudent man is going to foresee and avoid the evil. Okay, a daddy in his home, guess what? He's going to foresee something. It may be something innocent. It may be something that's not all that bad, but dad ought to have enough discernment in his home, and yea, even a mother have enough discernment in the home to be able to foresee that, hey, this might be innocent, but this will lead to this, and this will lead to this, and I'm going to avoid where that's leading. You see, every step, every decision that we make is going to affect people. It's going to affect us, but it's a step in a right direction or wrong direction. And what we have to do, God says, discretion is what's going to maintain us and defend from corruption and save us from walking into harm's way. So I've got to look out and foresee some things and think about, not just make flippant decisions because that's what the child wants to do. Just because the child wants to do doesn't mean it's necessarily good for the child or that it will lead him in a right direction. The word discretion means discernment. To judge critically of what is correct and proper and using caution as you make a decision between right and wrong. All right, so I ought to use caution when making a decision. You know, preacher oftentimes says if one of his children or somebody else is a crisis moment and I got to have it right now, he said automatically my answer is no. Why? Because he wants to use caution in making a decision and think about how's this decision going to affect my family. As him being a dad, him being a pastor, how's this decision going to affect the church? You as an individual, how is this decision going to affect me doing God's will and me pursuing God's will? The word discretion means this. It means liberty or power of acting based on your own judgment. Now, all the children and teenagers like this one. Yes, I want liberty to make my own mind up. Yeah, but the thing about it is you don't have the maturity or the wisdom that mom and dad has in order to make those decisions. And that's why God put you under a mom and dad in order to keep that in the direction that's going to be pleasing to God. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Amen. All right. But it also says honor your father and your mother. All right, you know something about it. You can obey your parent inside your home, but honoring them is when you go outside the home. Are you still going to put into practice what they taught you? You know, children in the Christian Academy or in the youth department. Obedience, conformity to what's expected. Guess what? It's right. And God will bless you for that. But guess what? If you don't mature to the point of it's not just I'm conforming to the rule that I'm under right now, because when you're out from underneath the rules of mom and daddy, you're out from underneath the rules and guidelines of the youth director, or you're out from underneath the guidelines of your Christian school teacher or whatever, if you're outside from, what's your point going to do then? Are you going to do the right thing? Are you going to be mature enough to make those right decisions to continue to put into practice what you've been taught all those years? And so we got to have this thing of discretion. But not only that, but the Bible says an understanding shall keep thee. The word understanding, it will keep us. It means this. It means insight or reasoning ability. You know, the thing about it is that God wants us to have insight or be able to reason or be able to sit down and consider before we make a decision. It means this. It means wisdom, learning or being informed. In other words, okay, tell me all the facts and then I'll pray about it. That's understanding. It means this. It means apprehending the real state of things. In other words, taking a good hard look at your home tonight taking a good hard look at your personal walk with the Lord tonight and getting real, you know, and understanding, hey, this is the real state of where I am. By the way, if you never admit and understand where you're at, you won't make it where you want to head. You know, most people are oblivious. They think they're just going to keep doing what they're doing and get the same results. The only problem is if you're not satisfied with the results, you can't keep doing the same thing and expect something different. So what you have to do is you have to gain understanding through God's Word in order to really analyze and take, here's where I'm at, and I don't want to be here. Here's where I'm going. How do I go about getting there? That's what God wants us to do. So I'm going to give you some principles tonight that will help us to gain discretion, gain understanding. Why? Because I don't know about you, I want to be in it for the long haul. When I stood before my wife 14 years ago, June 12, 2004, and took my vows, I said, till death do we part. And as one preacher said, that's not until you kill the other one. You know? Guess what? You ought to take those vows seriously. But a lot of times how marriages break up and don't make it is simply because they don't have any discretion and they don't have any understanding. They're not looking at the real state of things and having some discretion about doing something inside that home to make things work. Same thing with our pastor. Guess what? He's got discretion and understanding and makes decisions regarding the church. He's got some discretion. In other words, he's not going to just make a fly-by-the-night decision. Why? Because he wants the church to be protected. He doesn't want us as a flock to be hurt. He wants us to be helped. And so I ought to decide that when it comes to my marriage, I'm in it for the long haul. When it comes to a parent-child relationship, decide I'm in it for the long haul. Okay, so I've got a teenager in my home that's giving me problems. I'm not just going to give up and let them do whatever they want to do and just pray for them to get right. No, I'm going to help them to get right. We ought to decide that parent, I'm not going to give up. I'm in it for the long haul. As long as they're underneath the sound of my voice and under the roof of my house, I'm going to try to help them and guide them in the right way. Same thing for any other relationship, the job, the church, your own life. Let's decide, hey, I'm in it for the long haul to please the Lord. And let me, first of all, letter A, there are some blessings. What are some blessings if we stay it in for the long haul? We make that marriage work. We stay active in our children's lives to help guide them. We stay keep our relationships right and do what's right by the boss man and be a good church member. How are we going to do that? Well, number one, wisdom. Wisdom is a blessing. Wisdom is a blessing if you stay in it for the long haul. Proverbs 14:33 says, wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding. So if I gain understanding, I stay put, and in a church setting, in my family setting, whatever the case is, whatever scenario that you want to implement here, one thing I'm going to gain is wisdom. Guess what? I'm going to gain some experience of what not to do. I'm going to gain some experience of, I need to keep doing that. But can I tell you, if you don't stay put and you don't decide I'm in it for the long haul, then guess what? You'll not end up with any wisdom. Number two, ability to help others. That's a blessing if you stay put, even when things are rocky in the marriage, even when things are chaotic in the home regarding the children, even when things happen in the church that you raise an eyebrow out and you say, I just don't know if I understand that. Listen, if you stay put, it's going to give you ability to help others. Nobody, listen, you and I cannot help anybody further than what we've personally been. We can't help somebody be faithful to church if we're not personally being faithful to church. By the way, as a daddy, I can't help my son. Now, guess what? He don't have a driver's license yet, so he has to get in the back of the car and ride. But one day, you know, he may decide that he wants to buck against that. But can I tell you this? That if I stay in it for the long haul, guess what? I can help guide him in the direction, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. But can I tell you, somebody that skips out of the home and decides that we're not going to take care of our responsibility and allows divorce or separation to come in and can't fix the problem, guess what? You're not helping anybody. You're hurting them. You know, in a church setting, if you stay put, the longer you stay put, the more lives you'll be able to influence. But if we're church hoppers, guess what? We're only going to be able to have just a tiny little bit of influence because we couldn't stay put. And so if we're going to stay in it for the long haul, a blessing is, hey, I'm going to be able to help more people if I just stay put. Number three, knowing and doing the will of God. Ephesians 5:17 says, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. God wants everybody here to know what the will of God is and to do it. Can I tell you, when you do that, there's blessings involved. Can I tell you, there's no blessings involved when, number one, you don't know what the will of God is, because that's a lack of security. Peace comes when you say, I know that this is the will of God that I stay married. I know that this is the will of God that I keep those rules and standards high in the home to direct my children. I know it's the will of God that I be a member of Parkside Baptist Church. I know that it's the will of God that I walk with God. You know that and you start doing it, there's peace and contentment and satisfaction that nothing else in this world can give you. And that's a blessing of just staying in it for the long haul. Number four, good spiritual support group. Colossians 1:9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Can I tell you that the people down at the bar are not praying for you? Unless it's the bartender praying. Who does he pray to get customers? I don't have a clue. But it's people in the church house, people in your in God's family that are going to pray for you. It says, we do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So the good spiritual support group, what is that? The church. Listen, no home will stay together when it's on rocky roads unless they're going to church. No individual is going to make wise decisions if they're not coming to church. It says, so then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If we're not going to come to church and hear it, we're probably not going to listen to a CD and hear it. Probably not going to fire up the podcast and hear it if we're not going to come hear it in person. All right, and then number five, a blessing. If I stay in it for the long haul, what is in it for me? Peace, even when you're struggling. Amen. Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God, watch this, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I mean, when you're frazzled and your rope is burning at both ends and you don't know which end is up and you're just having a tough time in that home, you don't know if your marriage is going to last, you don't know if your children are going to make it, you don't know if you're going to be able to keep your job, and when you're dealing with a crisis situation or conflict, when you just stick it out, you can have peace knowing that, hey, God's in control. God knows what's going on inside my home. God knows what's going on inside my marriage. God knows what trouble I'm having rearing these children. God knows what I'm going through. Then can I tell you, you'll have peace even when you're struggling. You know, one of my mama's favorite phrases in the Bible, this too shall pass. And it will. Joy comes in the morning. You know, every valley has a mountain. That's what creates a valley, amen. We can't live on the mountain. I dare say most of us are going to live more time in the valley than we will on the mountaintop. But can I tell you, you can have peace through the valley. Now, can I tell you, not only are there some blessings if you stayed in the long haul, but let me give you a list of things that will hinder you from being in for the long haul. Let me give you a list of things that will derail you. Some things that will get you off track. Some things that will knock you out of the race. Some things that will cause you to want to quit. Number one, immorality. Immorality. I'm not talking about just adultery. I'm talking about pornography, the things that you look at. By the way, most times things end up in adultery. 9 times out of 10, somebody's been looking at something they ought not be looking at. And therefore, they weren't satisfied with what they had, and so they went seeking elsewhere to get it. And can I tell you, listen, it all starts. Listen, that's why the Bible says we ought to protect our children. Well, I trust little Junior. Listen, don't trust them. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. That's what the Bible says. And the Bible says the rod of correction shall drive it far from them. But we ought to protect them from getting involved in things. Nobody wakes up and decides to throw their life away just at a whim. No, the devil's been working on them. By the things they see and the things that we hear and the things that we experience. And can I tell you, God's working on you. And can I tell you, listen, The Bible says this in Proverbs 6:32. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. Now, if he'd had understanding, God said, that'll keep you. But somebody who commits adultery, they lack understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. Chapter 7 and verse 7. He beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths, a young man void of understanding. Now, if he'd have got in the book and he had discretion, which would have preserved him and kept him from injury, and if he'd had understanding and realized the real state of it, that all that glitters is not gold, and if I go to, Bible says, remove thy way far from her. Come not nigh the door of her house. That's what Proverbs chapter 7 says. But he was void of understanding. Therefore, he made some bad decisions. Immorality will knock you out and keep you from being in it for the long haul. Number two, bad company. Bad company will get you off track. Proverbs 12:11, he that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. Amen. In other words, we're not thinking when we think that it will do no harm for somebody to hang around somebody that has no purpose, no direction, no spirituality. We're crazy if we think that's not going to influence your children. It's going to influence them in a bad way. And can I tell you, bad company will keep you from being in it for the long haul. Can I tell you, listen, I believe this. Everybody, if you're in church tonight, you desire to do what's right or you wouldn't be here. But can I tell you this, that the devil's going to be quick. Listen, every time you make a step in the right direction, the devil's going to be hot on your heels. There's a target on your back, and he's going to wreak havoc in your life. Don't let it shock you that that's the case. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Listen, we want to play tiddlywinks with the devil and play footsies with the devil and play around with our pet sin and never get victory over it. And we expect that God's just going to swoop down and send his angels in a chariot of fire to escape us out of the pollution that we just got ourselves in. No, he wants you to have some understanding and discretion not to put yourself near the pollution. That's what he wants us to do. So, but hanging around somebody. Listen, if I was a Bible college student, and I knew God had called me to preach, and I knew that God wanted me to serve full time, I'd be careful about hanging around somebody that wasn't called to preach. And amen. Why? Because if you're not careful, listen, by nature, most of us are followers. And if we're hanging around somebody that's not headed in that direction, chances are eventually I won't either. And so a bad company doesn't mean that there's bad people. It just means that together they're not good. Amen. I'm going to surround myself. I'm going to become now what I want to be later. I'm going to be the influencer instead of the one being influenced. Number three, bad decisions will knock you out of the race. Proverbs 17:18, a man void of understanding striketh hands and become a surety in the presence of his friend. He makes deals with somebody that's unwise. Bad decisions will get you into trouble, will hinder you from being in it for the long haul. You know, I've heard preachers all growing up, I've heard preachers say the two things that will bust up a marriage quicker than anything is females and finances. You know? And that's point number one, that immorality. But can I tell you, those finances, boy, you make some bad decisions, and now you can't put food on the table, but you got to pay some you know, for one of your toys. Listen, that's a bad decision. Can I tell you, that'll break up a marriage quicker than anything. Number four, rebellion. Rebellion will keep you from being in it for the long haul. Proverbs 18:2. A fool hath no delight in understanding. He says, I don't even want to hear it. That's what a rebel says. I don't even want to hear it. So if a teenager, young person, child is disrespectful to mom and dad, say, I don't want to hear it. Can I tell you, you better mark it down. You better nip that thing in the bud. You better reach out and get some help. Because if they stay in that state, they're not going to get better. They'll get worse. And can I tell you, they won't make it for the long haul. Say, well, I want my children to make it. Well, then you better take a real good, close look, have some understanding about the real state of how things are going in your home, and do something. Listen, you got to make change. You do nothing, nothing will change. You won't change, you got to make change. Number five, laziness. Laziness will hinder you from being in it for the long haul. I mean, just sitting around doing nothing. Proverbs 24, verse 30 through 31, the Bible says this, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns. Nettles had covered the face thereof. The stone wall thereof was broken down. He said he was slothful. And then he equated that a man void of understanding. Can I tell you, listen, laziness. You say, well, you know, my marriage is too far gone. I'm just going to, listen, don't be lazy on your marriage. It's worth fighting for, amen. Amen. Well, I've given up on rearing my children because they're just putting up a fuss. They don't want to do it, so I'm not going to make them do it. Boy, that's laziness. Yes. Amen. Can I tell you, laziness, doing nothing about the problem, it only gets worse. By the way, that goes for your personal life also. You and I will never stay where we're at. We're either going to keep on going forward or we'll go backwards. Say, well, I'm content with where I'm at, and I don't want to serve feverishly anymore. Can I tell you, it won't be long that you won't be sitting in the pew. You got to find something to do and get busy for the Lord. Number six, an uncontrolled tongue and bad attitude. That'll knock you out of that'll split a marriage up. That will cause bitterness in the heart of a child. That will ruin a relationship. An uncontrolled tongue and bad attitude will ruin a church. It certainly ain't going to get you a promotion on the job. And in your own life, can I tell you, you will lose friends if you have an uncontrolled tongue and a bad attitude. Proverbs 14:29 says this, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. So that hasty spirit, that's a bad attitude. Slow to wrath is of great understanding. Slow to wrath. Listen, before it ever gets physical, it gets verbal. So it's an uncontrolled tongue. Say, well, I just had to say it. Okay, once you said it, did you feel any better? Did that end the conversation, or did whoever you say it to said something back? Yeah, it didn't do anything but escalate. We got to control our tongue. Now, let me give you some Bible principles that will help us to be in it for the long haul. We know that there's blessings if I do it. We know that there's a lot of things that are at odds against me and will keep me from being in it for the long haul. But let me give you some principles how to be in it for the long haul and allow discretion and understanding to preserve and keep us. Number one, be part of the solution, not part of the problem. In a church, I can sit here and I can, in my own ministries, I can make a laundry list of things that I want to fix. Anybody can point out a problem. But the Bible says by a man of understanding, amen, a man of understanding is going to rise to the occasion and fix things that need fixing. In a marriage, be part of the solution, not part of the problem. In child rearing, be part of the solution, not part of the problem. On the job, be part of the solution, not part of the problem. Letter A, if you see a problem, come up with a solution and administer that solution. Don't be one that just nag, 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 negative, 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 criticize, criticize, criticize. You ain't worth shooting. Don't be that type of person. The Bible says that a foolish woman, the Bible says she pulls her house down by her hand. She plucks it down. No. We ought to be building each other. A husband ought to be building up a wife. A wife ought to be building up a husband. Amen. A church ought to be building up the pastor. An employee ought to be building up the employer. Yeah, you're going to see problems, but be part of the solution, not a part of the problem. If you see a problem, come up with a solution and then put that solution into effect. Genesis chapter 45, verse 5 through 7, tells us about Joseph. And he realized that, hey, there's going to be a famine in the land. And, of course, now his brothers are there before him. It had been 2 years in the famine. They'd come to him to get food. And he finally reveals himself to them. He said, listen, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And he saw a problem. He saw, hey, there's a famine in the land. But the Bible says, it says this, for God did send me before you to preserve life. He said this, and God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth. He said, God has sent me to preserve, keep you from injury. He saw a problem. He came out with a solution. And now for the seven years famine, now he's going to have plenty of food for everybody. And not only that, but he's going to move his family to Goshen and really take good care of them. But why? It wasn't because he just saw the famine and says, woe is me, there's nothing I can do. I'm going to hoard it all to myself. I'm going to take care of me and forget everybody else. No. God used him. By the way, Daddy, God can use you and I if we see a problem. God can use us to preserve life. God can use us to keep our family from injury if we'll see a problem and immediately come up with a solution, administer the solution. But here's what normally happens in the average home. And maybe even the average church. We see a problem, we sweep it under the rug. Oh, it'll go away. See a problem, we sweep it under the rug. Oh, it'll go away. It'll eventually fix itself. Things always fix themselves. You know, next thing you know, your stove is blow up, your door's hanging off the hinges. Amen. Listen, your bed's in the floor because the foot broke. Your bicycle, the tire's flat. And then we're chaotic. I mean, the house is falling down around me. When if we'd have fixed the flat on the bicycle, if we'd have called Brother Yao over to fix the door because I don't know how to fix it. But if we'd have fixed the stove and called a repair, if we'd have fixed little things as they came up, it wouldn't be a big problem because we took care of the little problems. So be a part of the solution. See a problem, come up with a solution, and administer that solution. Don't procrastinate. Don't put it off. Don't let it snowball. Keep a short list. Don't store it up until it explodes. That's another problem with marriages. You know, something gets on our nerves and we don't talk about it. You know, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. You know, well, I'm not wrathful yet. You know, but it's deep down here. And then something else gets on your nerves. And next thing you know, you got a whole bunch of somethings getting on your nerves. And next thing you know, all they say is hi, and then you just explode on them. If we'd have just saw a problem and fixed it right then and talked about it right then, it would not have got out of control. Let her be. Be the first one in the door when you know there's a problem. Confront it head on rather than waiting until it comes to you. Diffuse the problem. That's something preachers taught me here. Be the first one in the door. You know there's a problem rather than waiting for it to come to you. Be the first one in the door to discuss it. Here in 1 Samuel chapter number 25, we have the story Nabal and Abigail, and they took care of his sheep shearers. David and his folks had took care of the sheep shearers and were good to them. And now it was time to return the favor. And David approached him and said, "Listen, we need your help." He sent him away. He said, "Listen, I'm not going to take care of your needs." Boy, he got all his men together. He's fixing to go chop his gizzard off. I mean, he was mad. But guess what? Abigail had enough discretion and understanding that she got on a horse and she went out there and she said, "Listen, my husband, he's a madman. Listen, you did good by us." And she diffused the problem. So what he did, he took him and his men and they went back home rather than coming and slaughtering a whole bunch of people. Listen, when we see a problem, be the first one in the door. If you know you can foresee it, you foresee the evil, avoid it by taking care of it quick. Don't wait till they'll come to me eventually. Yeah, give you a good tongue lash and a piece of their mind. Listen, don't wait for it to come to you. You confront it. Let her see, always be seeking for ways to improve. This is progress and growth. Proverbs 15:14, the heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge. So if I have understanding, I'm going to constantly be seeking, okay, how do I improve my marriage? How do I improve things? Number two, make Bible principle your principle. Make Bible principle your, well, that's just the preacher's, idea. That's just his opinion. No, God's got an opinion about everything. Letter A, obey his commandments. They are not optional suggestions. Well, this Bible was written to Christians, not preachers. Amen. Listen, before any man becomes a preacher, guess what? He was a Christian before that, we hope. And so therefore, he was putting into practice Christian Bible principles. And so therefore, Timothy said this, he's counted me faithful, put him in the midst. Faithful in what? Faithful in doing what the book said. You know, he didn't say, "Oh, well, that's for the preachers. That don't apply to me. No, it all applies to us. And our lives would be better off in our home if we just simply obey Bible principles rather than stepping it up when we're at church because that's what the preacher expects and then in the home letting it drop. Therefore, what happens with the children is when they get out on their own, guess what? They let all of it drop. You know, they don't even do the simple thing like coming to church. You say, "Well, I'm coming to church. I'm setting a good example." What about at home? We got to set a good example at home. Why? Because our children are the ones that pay the price if we don't set that example. So obey those commandments. I'm going to give you these principles. You can go home and Bible study all these verses. There's 100 of them. Letter B, realize you can have all the knowledge in the world, but it doesn't matter what you know. It matters what you do. What you do is going to make a difference. Well, I know what I ought to be doing, you know, to keep sweet on my wife. Lord, help us to have a just as I am invitation right here. I know what I'm supposed to be doing when it comes to my wife. I know it. Yeah, but if you don't do it, it's not going to patch up your conflict in the home. Well, I know I ought to do such and such with my children, but I don't have time. Listen, you'll want time with them later, and they won't have time for you. In a church situation, I can know everything. And say, well, I agree it. Amen, preacher, I agree with it. But if we're not doing anything about it, the Bible says don't be just a hearer, but be a doer of the word. Letter C, don't promote your opinion. Develop God's opinion as your own. This is the difference between preference and conviction. I'll tell you where bitterness comes in the heart of a child is when a parent shoves their preferences down their child's throat, and then the child grows up and says, well, I've been doing this all these years, and I can't find that hiding their hair up in the Word of God. And then they're bitter because I've been forced to do something that ain't even in the Bible. I should have scratched that out of my notes. But can I tell you the truth?
Amen.
Listen, what we ought to be promoting is here's what God said. Amen. Because when I'm dead and gone, I want Samuel to say, hey, I'm not doing this because Daddy said. He's not here to say it no more. I'm doing it because God Almighty said so. By the way, that's where, amen to that. Let's see here. Letter D, develop a right spirit and a right conversation towards doctrine. Isaiah 29:24, they also that erred in spirit shall come to understanding, they that murmur shall learn doctrine. Don't be one that goes home and tears the Bible apart. We need to be letting the Bible change us, but if we're tearing apart at home, guess what? It's not going to help us much. And so, there might be something. You say, well, preacher gets up and makes a decision, or he gets up and preaches, you know, steps on your feet and spits in your eyeball and sits in your lap and whatever else that he says he does. And he does that. And if you're not careful, you'll go home and you'll have fried preacher for lunch. And can I tell you, listen, you say, well, you know, he ought to keep his nose out of my business. It is his business. It's the Lord's church. He's got a responsibility to tell us, hey, go this direction, it'll work. Don't go there. It won't work. Why? That's going to help our homes. So develop a right spirit and right conversation. I don't agree with that. Yeah? And then what'll happen is our children won't agree with that, plus that, plus that, plus that. And then you'll wonder, well, I don't know. I can't understand it. Preacher, pray with me. My child's an atheist. Well, guess what we did? We planted that seed in our heart a long time ago when we said, I don't agree with that. Listen, let's just agree with the Bible. God's right and I'm wrong. Amen. Hey, how about this? Letter E, guide your affairs with the Word of God. 1 Chronicles 22:12, only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding. And then later on it says, that thou mayest keep the law. You say, well, I don't know what to do. Get in the Word of God, get counsel, whatever. Letter F, hate what God hates. Hey, other side of the coin, love what God loves. Number three, keep your eyes on the Lord and not on man. Can I tell you, listen, that's going to keep you on track. Listen, when I was growing up, I didn't have a preacher for more than 6 months to 3 years. And then we'd go 6 months to a year without a preacher. All the time I was growing up. We got to decide, you know, I'm so glad that my mama didn't have her eye on the preacher that left and decided, well, I'm leaving too. It made an indelible impression on my life. I'm a preacher today because my mama was faithful. You know, why? Because she kept her eyes on the Lord. It didn't matter what man did. She was going to say, listen, the Lord wants us here in this church. We're going to stay in the church. And guess what? That helps you in the church, but it also helps you as an individual, and it helps you in your marriage. Keep your trust in the Lord and not in man. Hey, how about this? But keep your trust in the Lord and not in self. Listen, keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't trust in yourself to feel like, well, I don't have to go in for counsel. I can handle it. One day you can handle it. It's going to handle you. And you'll be frazzled. Guess what? You'll need the preacher in your home, in your marriage, in your child rearing. And so don't trust that you can handle it and that you got to bear the load. No, keep your trust in the Lord. Letter C, place your confidence in the Word of God. God's never going to steer you and I wrong. Let me give you some blanks here. Number four, work on you rather than constantly trying to fix someone else. I'm talking about, how am I going to be in the long haul in my marriage when it's rocky? How am I going to handle child rearing when it's stressful? How am I going to handle the job when the boss is just cantankerous? How am I going to handle it in the church, when I gave a suggestion and they didn't like it, and they didn't go with what I wanted to do? How am I going to handle that? Work on you rather than trying to fix somebody else. Practice personal holiness. Create new habits of doing right. Keep a schedule that includes God as priority. That's going to help you as an individual. It's going to help you as a church member. It's going to help you as a citizen. It's going to help you as a neighbor. It's going to help you as an employee. It's going to help you as a daddy, as a mama, as a young person. It's going to help you. If you keep God as priority, well, we got to have family time. That don't mean you got to cut God's time out. Amen. Don't become lax in your living of the Christian life. Well, y'all go ahead and go sowing, and I'm not going to go tonight. You become lax. The next thing you know, it's going to lead to backsliding, and it's going to affect your family. Show up where you're supposed to be and pay attention when you get there. You'll be surprised what you learn. Don't come in with preconceived ideas. Well, looking for something to disagree with. You'll probably find it. No. I'm looking for something that's going to help me in my home and help me to be a good Christian, a good servant of God. Establish a personal walk with God and make personal application of the truths that you learn. Go home and read these scriptures. But listen, don't just read the Bible. Get a truth from the Bible. Listen, the Bible says, apply thine heart to understand. How are you going to apply it if you read it and you don't even remember what you read when you got done? You have to make application because you got a truth from the Word of God that pointed you in the right direction. And you decided, hey, that's a good one. I'm going to do that today. So get a truth from God's Word and then practice that truth in your life. Keep good company. Lose your life of selfishness. Live your life in selflessness. Do a work for God. Realize if it's worth having, it's going to cost you something. I dare say that's probably a big problem in a lot of marriages, is because we look at it, we get disgruntled, and we say, well, it's not worth having. No, what we ought to do is we ought to work at it every day. You know what? It ought to be 50%, 50%. No, you ought to be giving 100%, and so should she. Amen. Amen. And you children, teenagers, you ought to be giving 100% to mom and daddy. Amen. Amen. Number five, don't make hasty decisions. Don't make hasty decisions. Can I tell you, there will be things that happen in your family. And what people do, the very first thing, if a family is struggling, the very first thing they do is they cut out church. Well, I don't feel like being around anybody. God said still, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The Lord's coming back. He's not going to say, well, I understand that you missed. You weren't feeling good. Listen, I understand this. If you're coughing up blood and vomiting and you got to go to the bathroom every 5 minutes and you got a headache and it's hurting your neighbor that you're sitting next to, and you got the sniffles and you got the flu and you you come in with a mask, and you got a hazmat suit on, please stay home. But if you ain't got all that going, guess what? Church will help us. Amen. Amen. Seek godly counsel. Don't make a hasty decision. You say, well, I don't agree with something that happened at the church. Seek counsel. Let somebody explain it to you. But what most people don't. Well, now I know what they're going to say. Well, then won't you just go ahead and get right with God and save everybody the trouble? Amen. Right? I mean, if we know what God says, we know what the preacher's going to say, let's just get right, and then we won't have to waste so much of his time in his office. Amen. Listen, preaching is preventative maintenance. Listen, don't be hasty. When you start making progress in an area, don't jump ship. Be faithful so it can be established in your life. Listen, the devil, every step of the way you make towards God in your personal life, in your home, in your church life, whatever the case is, you start making progress, the devil is going to throw something in your life to trip you up. Expect it. Treat it as a hurdle. Jump over it and keep running for Jesus. Better see, don't jerk the wheel. Preacher said that all the time. Don't jerk the wheel. Don't make hasty decisions. Don't react. Act on a Bible principle. Most of us live based on our feelings, so whatever happens, we react to it. And can I tell you, when we react, normally we say things we shouldn't. We do things we shouldn't. We hurt people that we shouldn't. What we ought to do is we ought to just Just pull over. Listen, pull over on the side of the road, but don't jerk the wheel. You'll cause an accident, and you're going to hurt people. When you start making a little progress, expect the devil to show up, and you just decide, I'm going to be in it for the long haul. I'm making progress in my marriage. Things are starting to be patched up. Things are starting to look up. I'm just going to keep on going, even when the devil tries to throw a wrench in it, and I'm going to keep going. Why? Because I want to be in it for the long haul. Listen to people that God's put into your life, especially your pastor. Listen, don't go into the pastor and say, my mind's made up. I'm doing such and such and so. Why are you even telling him? No. We go, so listen, this is what I'm thinking about. What is your opinion, preacher? Can you give me some? He may tell you something that you didn't think about. But if you go in with your mind made already up, guess what? You'll miss out on the wisdom that God could have used him to give in your life to fix the problem. And then, that was the last one. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. We was on a row, but I got to stop the row. I wonder tonight. You say, Brother Craig, none of that made sense. You talk too fast. None of that made sense. The Bible says the natural man doesn't understand spiritual things. Perhaps it is that you've never had a relationship with the Lord. You don't know for certain that you're going to heaven. Perhaps that might be the problem. Maybe God's been dealing with your heart about that. And you say, Brother Craig, that's me. I do not know for sure that I'm going to heaven, but I sure'd like to know. I've just been having doubts. I've been struggling with it, and that's me, Brother Craig. Anybody like that with an uplifted hand? I do not know for sure if I die that I go to heaven. Anybody like that? All right. I have to assume everybody's saved. Didn't see any hands. That's wonderful. But if saved people, can I tell you, boy, we just got a dose of Scripture and a dose of Bible study material that's going to help us to be in it for the long haul. I'm going to say, Brother Craig, there's some struggles in my life. Maybe it's in a marriage. Maybe it's with child rearing. Maybe it's on the job. Maybe you're struggling in the church. Maybe you're feeling lonely. Something happened or a decision was made and you don't quite agree with it or don't understand it or whatever. I'm saying I'm struggling in some area of my life, but tonight God spoke to my heart and I'm making the decision before the Lord that I'm in it for the long haul. I'm going to stay put. I'm just going to stay put. Anybody make that decision? I'm just going to stay put. Doesn't matter what comes. Listen, you don't wait until crisis comes to make a decision whether or not you're going to stay put in that relationship or that church. No, you make the decision now. So when the crisis, it will come, that crisis will come, but when it comes, you be ready for it. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.